First, I want to give you a shakayach to my friends, to David and Debbie Adelson. This is a home that's filled with Torah and Simchas. I had this, should continue to be even more so. I learned that there's an expression they use nowadays. It's a funny thing when you start getting older and you realize that the same way there were expressions that we used that our parents didn't understand, now my kids are saying things that I don't understand. It's getting me pretty nervous. So one of the things that I've been hearing, I don't care for the way that it sounds, but I understand the point that's being made, is my son was saying about something that he was learning, that it wasn't normal. And I said, what do you mean it's not normal? It's a gewaldige pshat. He said, it's not normal. That's how good it is. It's not normal. So I want to say that Debbie and David are not normal. That's how good they are. It's a special people. I think that's the best you could do now. Hashem. We're on page Yud Aleph. Some serious nefesh come out. It's a cold night. So we need to warm ourselves up with Torah. We're going to learn a very, very important piece of this. What does it mean to protect our children and to build a Jewish home? On page Yud Aleph, where it says Ois Tes, and Rabbi Tzvi Meir, who, by the way, is going to be Mitzvah speaking in the shul, I mean for men, on January 26th, but he's coming for Simcha Bo Hashem. So he already had spoken about the importance of establishing a bias, a home that will go with the children wherever they go in life, not just in the house itself, but will travel with them. So he goes and explains now more by Riches, and it's all going to be connected to the parashiyos that we're doing now. We're crossing over from the world of the parents to the world of the children, right? We're crossing over from Sefer Bereishis, the parents, the Sefer Shmos, the children. And what has to take place in order to successfully perpetuate that world of the fathers in the lives of the children. That's where we're Isaac in now. That's where we are now in the Torah. And when we're learning something in Torah, we understand it's not just an idea or a concept, but we have to live with this. So he explains on page Yud Aleph, V'loy rak b'shoshin im tzoyim b'seich ha-teva z'magin. Not only does the ark, remember we've been talking about building this boat, this protective teva, each and every one of us has to build for our children. Not only does this protect us when we're there, protect our children at the time that they're in that house, in that place. Like ikkar koyach hashmira shel bayis yehudi, ikkar koyach hashmira shel makom Torah hu bebchinas shel lechu banim shemuli. I've mentioned this many times. David HaMelech says, lechu banim shemuli, go my children and listen to me. And of course, grammatically, it would have been correct to have said, come and listen to me. If you want somebody to come and hear you, you say, bo'u banim shemuli. What does it mean, lechu banim, go and listen to me? We understand that that's the tachlis of chinuch, and that's the surest indication that the chinuch of a home was real. When the children, even after they go away, or maybe sometimes only when they go away, they begin to hear. L'chu banim, when they leave the home, they're still hearing what was in the house. They're still hearing that way of life. L'chu banim shimuli, k'mesh akosim et tzadikim, b'sho sheyotzim l'chutz. The tzadikim have explained that the ikar of chinuch is not just while the kid is in the house or while the kid is in yeshiva. The ikar way to know whether it's really a chinuch is when the child leaves the home. B'sho sheyotzim l'chutz. That this pureness, this wonderful pureness, that shmirah atzuma v'hanifla sha'abeinu habas or talmid sofag b'shar shahayi b'teves nayar, that this wonderful, wonderful pureness and holiness that the boy or the girl, the son, the daughter, or a student absorbed during that time while being the teves nayar in that little base of mikdash, shezem alav oisai la'olam, that should go with him wherever he is in life. And that's one of the inyanim that's explained in the Svar Makadoshim about the mezuzah and touching the mezuzah when we leave the house and then coming back and touching the mezuzah. But the main thing is when we leave the house. And touching the mezuzah when we leave the house, kissing it, as the many have the custom to kiss it, really, and the Rambam just speaks about touching it. When we touch the mezuzah So what that means is that clarity, that Yichud Hashem, that oneness of purpose, of who I am and where I belong, that's something which is not only while I'm in the house, but as I leave the house, the touching of the mezuzah means that to take that with me. And the tzaddikim explained that we see many things in Tanakh that take place by the opening of the house. The opening of a house is a scary place. And that's why Hashem Baruch gave us a beautiful mitzvah of mezuzah. The opening of a house is scary because on the one hand, we understand that Hashem wants us to go out into the world and to accomplish and to be part of the world. On the other hand, it's frightening to go out there and to leave the warmth and the clarity of what's inside. Therefore, we find that in general in Tanakh, and I don't have time to go into this now, but in general, there are many struggles that take place in Tanakh by the opening. We see that from the beginning of mankind with Cain, Hashem tells him, Al Pesach Chatas Roveitz, that sin crouches by the opening, by the Pesach, by that place, the threshold of the house. The Pesach Chatas Roveitz, it's crouching, it's waiting there. In the house, everything is clear, everything is beautiful, but then to cross over into the world is that scary time in between. Similarly, we find that the whole inyan with Lot and what happened in Sodom, again, I'm not going into details now, that they were demanding that he hand over his guests. And the whole thing took place, as it says in the Chumash, in the parish, it says, by the Pesach HaBayis, by the opening. That opening into the world of Sodom. When our children leave the house, I don't mean when they're very, very little and they just go to school, but as they grow up and they leave that Pesach, they go out into the world, they're entering into a Sodom-like type of existence. And unless they have the mezuzah with them from where they come from, and they're strong in their emunah, and it's something which can sustain them beyond their being in the house, they're not going to be able to make it. We see the brothers of Yosef also, it says, by the door, by the threshold, wondering, not knowing what to do, by the threshold. It's always a place of uncertainty. Sarimenu shomas pesach ha'ohel. Sarimenu was listening by the opening of the tent, by the threshold of the tent. That's the special influence of the mother that we were talking about 2 weeks ago, by the opening. To be able to give the child that feeling that no matter where he goes, no matter where she goes, there's that feeling of the parents staying with the child. And that's what's really happening when we're crossing over from the end of Sefer Bereishis to the beginning of Sefer Shmos. That's actually a mezuzah. That's a doorpost, the Vayichi Yaakov, last week's parasha. And going into this week's parasha, which Rav Tzimei is going to talk about, how do we continue with the way of the parents, with that way that we had in Bereishis, how do we continue with that into the world of Mitzrayim? That's really what's happening. How do we sustain that connection as we enter into Mitzrayim, as we go into Mitzrayim? And again, here, this is a very interesting inyan. It's an important inyan that I've spoken about many times in the past, but simply not for now. The whole inyan of where Yocheved was born, in that place in between Mitzrayim and outside of Mitzrayim. There are many, many things that are taking place as we cross over from Bereishis to Shmos. Again, Yocheved being the perennial mother, and the importance of the mother to give the child the encouragement to be able to go and to live as a Jew in Mitzrayim, and at the same time, to have a very, very strong connection to the past and feel the warmth of those memories holding him or her up in Mitzrayim. So he explains, ve'echad mehabchinas b'zeh, hu k'ma shekosim b'sadikim, ve'yesh b'zeh arichas dvar, v'nudaber hanukud b'ktsar. Just b'ktsar, b'kitzer. Yaakov avinu ve'yosef atzadik hayu b'bchinas yiduas ikare haschalas shel galus. We know that the beginning of galus was, first of all, Yosef atzadik going down, being sold into Egypt. And then that was preparing the way, and then Yaakov Avinu would descend for the final 17 years he would be in Mitzrayim. And we know that this was a way of preparing for their descendants to be able to not only to survive Galus, but to be able to rescue all the sparks of holiness and to accomplish what Hashem Baruch wants us to accomplish in this world. All of the groundwork was being prepared by Yaakov and Yosef. Bebchinas Bnei Yaakov ve Yosef Sela. We find in Tehillim, in Nach, we find in many places even in Chumash, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. We find that even though Yaakov, of course, loved all of his children, the relationship that he had with Yosef HaTzadik was really two sides of one coin. Yosef was the true Hemshech in the deepest sense, the true continuation of Yaakov Avinu. Habes Yaakov Eish. Therefore we find that the Pasuk in Navi compares the house of Yaakov to a fire. Shelochem be'edom, in its constant struggle with Edom in Golas. Be'beis Esav. Shehu ha'golas ha'rivi. The final Golas that we're in is the Golas of Edom, of Esav. Shehu golas b'stam. Iker ha'golas b'chines Esav v'amalek. The strongest aspect of Golas that causes us the most difficulties, the strongest, of course, is Esav and Amalek. Yishmael, that we're presently having many difficulties with, Yishmael is a part of the Golas of, is the final part of the Golas of Esav of Amalek. Shestam milchama hu imam. Stam, the war in this world between holiness and anti-holiness is between Yaakov, Yosef, and Esav. Kol milchama b'machne. There's a sound of war in the camp. Therefore, when it just says milchama, there is a war. Stam, when it says that there's a war, it means with the one who is described, who is blessed, a blessing that's been a great curse for the entire world, but the blessing of you shall live by the sword, which is the bracha of Esav, to live by the sword. So when we see stam, when it says kol milchama b'machne, there's a sound of war. Anytime that there's a sound of war and it doesn't specify somebody else, stam, it means Esav, it means Amalek, the one who lives by the sword. But of course that doesn't only mean physically, it means spiritually as well. Mostly that's what we experience in our lives. V'yakev avinu hu ikar haloichem. And the, of course, the main warrior is Yaakov Avinu. That's why he's called Beis Yaakov Eish, the fire of Yaakov. The Yosef HaTzadik hu amamshich. Yaakov is the father and Yosef HaTzadik is the son that continues with this. HaBeis Yosef Lahava. So it says in the Pasuk, Beis Yaakov is compared to a fire and Beis Yosef to a flame. Shesholeit l'merachok, which Chazal say that the fire is something which is only there that's burning, but the flame is something which goes on and on and on. Heim ha'ike. Heim hamidu es klal Yisrael sheyatzlichu lamaid b'matzavim shel kol ruchos sheba'olam ein mezizin oisei memkaimai. It's through Yaakov and Yosef that the Jewish people have the ability to live in such a way where all of the winds of this world, physical or spiritual, ultimately cannot destroy klal Yisrael. Certainly there have been casualties, but the Jewish people have survived even though it's not physically possible to explain. It's not rationally possible to explain the survival of Klal Yisrael bein mitzad the guf, physically or spiritually. This koyach that we have is from Yaakov Yosef. Hey Mishah, she Yosef HaTzadik, next page, halach l'mukaymes hakoshim b'yosef. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik was davke sent to the most difficult places. And even though, as it says in the Torah, the brothers intended to harm him, but Hashem's intention was for good. That Yosef would become a tzaddik davka in that place of Mitzrayim in the most difficult circumstances. The nisyonos hakoshim b'Yosef, the most difficult tests. Hamatzav makoshim b'Yosef b'shal shehayetze mibifnim pita Yosef ben kach nafalta. What is the way that the Yetzahara from within? What is the way that Amalek speaks to us within ourselves? It begins by saying, Bein kach nafalta. What does it mean, Bein kach nafalta? Listen, anyway, you're not in Eretz Yisrael. You're not with Yaakov Avinu. You're not with the Shvatim. You're not involved in learning and in davening. Anyway, you're not. You're already a fallen. You're already not one of the Finzra mentioned, one of the real Jews. You're already a fallen into such a place of Mitzrayim. Bein kach nafalta. Bein kach ato kol kach rachoik. These are the words of Amalek. You're already far away. Anyway, you're far away, so you might as well enjoy yourself. Hashchina kedoshe v'shiftei ka mochro ischa. Yosef HaTzadik heard this voice in his ear all those years, that ultimately the Shechina obviously doesn't want you. Hashem's Baruch doesn't want you. Why? Your own father sent you to a dangerous place. Your own father sent you to be with brothers that he knew hated you on their madriga, that they hated you. And your own father sent you to such a place. Your father in this world, and obviously your father in Shemaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, obviously was interested in you being sold into the lowest place. You were driven away from your holy father and grandfather. And it's hard for us to understand, it's impossible for us to understand all that Yosef HaTzadik had to go through and break through, and all of it was for our sake. And therefore we see that when we left Mitzrayim, the Aron, the remains of Yosef, traveled together with us in the Midbar. And that's still true. The remains of Yosef HaTzadik travel with us no matter where we go. Even if a Jew is in Hong Kong, a Jew is in any place in the world, the Aron of Yosef travels with him. The Yosem V'Aron B'Mitzrayim, that travels with a Jew everywhere he goes. Who knows and Lono is a Koyach LaHachzik Mamad. And this gives us the Koyach LaHachzik Mamad, to hold ourselves, to survive. Oz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sida, Sheberega HaKosher B'Yoseh. Now look what happened, which we spoke about this, and all of you are familiar with this. The Davke, at the most difficult moment of his life. And the most difficult moment of his life was not when he was in jail, it was not when he was sold and taken with a caravan. That wasn't the most difficult moment of his life. It was when he was alone in the house with the wife of Potiphar. That was the greatest challenge of his life to the whole inyan of what Yosef HaTzadik is, who Yosef HaTzadik is, which is the link between heaven and earth, that there can be holiness even in this world, which is the tachlis of creation. At that most difficult moment, what did he do? How did he survive? How was he able to make that decision in a split second of Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza? He ran out. He just ran out. Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza. He ran out. He left. Where did he get that koyach from? Which again, you and I think, so we would also run out. It's not something which we could understand what that was, what was going on there. Where did he get that koyach from? So Chazal, of course, tell us, and everybody knows, Hayadmuz diukna shel aviv nidmalai. He saw the image of his father in the window. He saw the image of his father. And his father was saying to him, Rashi brings it down, not the whole thing. The Gemara brings down that Yaakov Avinu was saying to him, look at all the beauty that awaits my children and the Jewish people. And don't you want to be a part of this? Don't you want to be able to bring this about? And he saw the image of his father. Mikavan Shahisoid Shal Kla Yisrael, Shayhudi Bimatsov Makoshim Biyoise, Shunizkam Yaviv, when a Jew is in the most difficult situations, he has to have the kind of parents, we spoke about this, that he can remember at that moment. Not to remember and to think, you know, of a father sitting there with a remote control, or of a mother, you know, spending another night out with her buddies in the mall. But to remember Kedusha, not that there's anything necessarily wrong with the second thing, but the Kedusha, to be able to have that reference, to be able to refer back. I was talking about this past Shabbos. But the inyan of Vayichi Yaakov, that Yaakov never died. What does that mean for Yaakov never to die? And that's what Yaakov was asking for, as I explained on Shabbos, Al Nosik Bereini B'Mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Egypt. Don't take all that I believed in, all that I lived for, and bury it someplace in Egypt. Take me out of this place. And the main responsibility for that was Yosef HaTzadik. And in order for Yosef HaTzadik to accomplish that, he had to see his father's image. He had to associate holiness with his father. He had to make that connection. Shunizkar mi'aviv. One has to remember one's father. Of course, that's what happened with Yosef HaTzadik. It means one's mother as well, to remember one's parents. And it doesn't just mean to have a fond memory. It means that when thinking about the parents, this is what gives the children unbelievable koyach. This is the Vayichi Yaakov that connects the book of the parents, Bereishis, with the book of the children, that would enable us to survive in Mitzrayim. Only when we have the image of our parents, and that image is one that inspires us, that inspires us. That's why I chose to call these talks, not just this time but last time, inspired parenting, because my strong belief is that nowadays it's not going to work with uninspired parenting. It just doesn't work anymore. The children have to think back and look back and feel that their parents were people who were mamish on fire, like Beis Yaakov Eish and Beis Yosef Lahava, that they can look up to their parents. They admire their parents. They want to be like their parents. And that will enable them, as Rav Simeon says, Maksig Mamed Begadusha V'Tahara, V'Niyemekovel Amidasei Yisoid. It's there in Egypt that Yosef HaTzadik became the embodiment of this midah that's called Yisoid, foundation, which is the foundation of all creation, the holiness of the bris that binds the parents with the children, that binds the past with the future, that connects heaven and earth. That's the whole union of Kedushas HaBris, which is the main strategy nowadays of Amalek, of Esav, with those of you who are married with your husbands and with your sons, and even with the daughters, but mostly with the boys, older and younger. The main strategy of Esav now is not to use a sword that hurts them. Thank God they're mostly safe. In Eretz Yisrael it's much more dangerous, but mostly our children are not being threatened by the sword of Esav in that way. But what is being threatened more than ever before is the Kedusha of the Bris, of that Midah that's called Yisoid, of holiness, of sanctity, of the way of the parents, of the grandparents. V'niyemer kovel l'midas ha-Yisoid. And our grandparents, our great-grandparents, never had these kind of challenges. They couldn't imagine what we go through and what we live through. Again, the women don't suffer from this as much as the men. This is the main nisoyin of the men in our generation. Although women also are struggling with this. And the mitzvah hashah, the tzav hashah, the main commandment of our time is to try to establish homes of kiddush, of tahara, and to remove all that could in any way bring the husbands, the boys, and even the girls down. The things that are available, the magazines, the newspapers, and so on, it's not only attacking the boys, they're attacking the girls as well. And that's something that until this generation came out, was not prevalent. But the entire attack of Esav these days, where we are, is on this midah of Yisoid, a foundation of Kedushas HaBris. You're raising it? Somebody raising it? Oh, I don't have my glasses. L'midah shel ochis shmaya v'ara. This midah of Yisoid connects heaven and earth. Just like we see that Yosef HaTzadik was in the lowest place on earth, and he brought heaven into that place. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik was able to feed his family and to really sustain the entire world. That's the midah of Tzadik Yisod Olam, of Kedushas HaBris. The one who doesn't misuse, God forbid, his physical kaychus, the one who does not misuse himself, that person has unbelievable ability to bring all of the blessings from heaven down into this world. And that's the meaning of Yosef HaTzadik, whose name means to add. The name itself means Shefa, means Bracha, that's the name. It's through Yosef HaTzadik. It's through Yosef HaTzadik that you have some boy tonight. Maybe it's one of the children from our chevra here, that there's some boy that's going to be sitting, supposedly doing his homework at, you know, at 12:30 in the morning, and he's God forbid being tempted to look at something he shouldn't look at, because these machines that come out, you don't have to even look for things, they throw things at you. So for him to be able to be a vayonis vayetze hachutza, to run away from the wife of Potiphar, that's only through the koyach, this koyach that we receive from Yosef HaTzadik, from Yaakov Avinu, from the Ovis, and from the Imohis. This, of course, began with Avram Avinu, as we learned, that Hashem took Avram Avinu beyond this world. He was raised to a place above this world. That means that forever and ever, a Jew has the ability to rise above the trappings of this world, not to be dragged into the world, but adrabba, to bring kedusha, to bring holiness into this world, not to be dragged into the world. And that started with Avram Avinu, that Hashem Shbach took him above the world. Vayotzei Esav Achutza, to be outside. And that's why it's already after Chanukah, but certainly the iris of Chanukah is shining very brightly And that's why the Inyan, the Chanukah menorah, is dafka by the opening. The Chachil, that's where it is, it's by the opening. To give the person that koyach at that dangerous place of the Pesach, at that place of the in between worlds, to give him the koyach of what of Yosef HaTzadik that will carry him even hachutza above and beyond all the things of this world. Lamala mikipa serakia, lamala manateva, beyond that which is natural. Hadmuz diukno shel aviv. What did this? What enabled Yosef HaTzadik to do this was the image that he saw of his father. And of course, it doesn't only mean that one time. That one time was the greatest crisis in his life. But certainly, he saw that he lived with the image of his parents. He lived with that image, with those memories of what was, and the eschaskus that he received from that. And we have to ask ourselves, that's what we're talking about now, are our children going to have those memories? When our children go through difficulties in life and they think of us, because that's what they're going to do, is that going to be mechazik them? Is that going to pull them beyond this world and above those things that are dragging them down? Or God forbid, have we in any way contributed to the children being lowered in this world? Hashem Yirachem. And that's the big question that when we're 120, that Hashem Baruch is asking each and every one of us. And all of the philosophy and all the excuses and explanations in the world on that day are totally meaningless. That's the real question of our lives. Are we the kind of people who can be images for our children and our grandchildren in the future when they're stuck with the wife of Potiphar? And if we can't be, that means that we have to start being. That means that we're missing the point. This is the tachlis of our avodah in this world. Shal abo o melamed, not just a father, a parent, but also a rebbe. Shu gam abo bebchinas ki'ilu yoldai. A rabbi is like a parent. It's as if he gave birth. I'll tell you, there was an interesting thing. Back before World War II in Poland, there was a chassid that was going to Paris on a business trip. And he came to take leave of his rabbi. His rabbi was the holy tzaddik, the Imre Emes, the Ger Rabbi. And he went to take leave from his rabbi to go. So the rabbi said, "You're going to Paris. There's a certain cigar that I like in Paris." And he told him what the brand was and exactly, you know, where in Paris you can get this cigar. And the chassid was very excited that he could do something to the rabbi, but he got very busy on his business trip and going all over and doing different things. And finally it was the last day, and he was leaving. He remembered, oh, vey, the one thing my rabbi ever asked me in my life is that I should bring him this cigar, and I didn't do it. And certainly you can't find those cigars in Poland. He came to the rabbi, And he was very embarrassed. And the first thing when he walked in, the Rebbe said, "No, where's my cigar?" So he started to say, "Rebbe, I'm so sorry, you know, this business thing and that thing, and I had appointments on the last day, and I was just a tumult, and, you know." So the Rebbe says to him, "Shaita, you idiot. Do you think that I care about cigars? You know why I told that to you? Because I wanted that for the entire week that you were there, wherever you were going, you should think of your Rebbe. You should remember me. That's why I told you to get something for me. I don't need the silly cigars, but I need you to remember who your Rebbe is and where you come from. And I knew that you're going to get trouble, and you failed. You failed because you should have remembered me. And you shouldn't have just the last 10 seconds when you were leaving already. You should have remembered me the whole time." That's the insight of a parent. That's the insight of a teacher, of a Rebbe. Sheyelad nizgarhu roya lefonav esatsua shel ha'aba. To see the tzura, to see the image of the father, shel harav. Look how people like so much to have paintings with beards and payas. You know, it's an interesting thing how Jews like to have paintings. But if the husband comes home with a beard and payas, oh boy. Big mishaberach, if a husband walks in, everybody wants to have like these old paintings. It's so sweet and charming. You know how, or everybody likes it to have a grandparent, a grandfather that look like this. They like to make a big, to blow up the picture and to display it and to say to everybody who walks in, "That's my Zayde, that is my Zayde. Well, your Zayde was a Charka of a Chassid, your Zayde was a Belzer Chassid. Yeah, that's my Zayde, it was an Elechayid." So, but if your husband and if the boys come marching in trying to look like the Zayde, so it won't be the best day of their lives. Yeah? So it's up one degree or the other. one degree or the other. I've had many, many meetings with wonderful, beautiful couples that are arguing over a quarter inch beard or a half an inch of peyas. And that, not that that makes it a Jew, of course, it's silly. Our fathers and grandfathers didn't have to have necessarily beards and peyas to be Jews. They were much stronger, the Jews, than a lot of the ones that have beards down to the floor, including my beard. So I'm not saying that. But there's a certain association that we have to our grandparents, to pictures of the past, to those images of the past, and especially since I was never zeichet to see my grandparents, so that my father was able to get. It really wasn't such a long time ago. There was an amazing thing that happened, that my father, there was somebody from my father's hometown, who he thought had been killed in the war, and around 30 years ago, something like that, my father met him. My father met him someplace, and they were hugging and crying. They were friends from Europe, friends from Cheva. And he said to my father, "I have something for you." And they met the next day, and he gave my father a picture of my grandfather. Said my father, they weren't able to take anything out when they left, and this yid had a picture of my grandfather, if the one I'm named. And I said I could still remember this. This is already a long time ago, and I could and even though I was busy, you know, bowling and movies and girlfriends, you know, I was running back and forth. I had a lot of things going on, but there's a memory of my father sitting with this picture, hours and hours and hours looking at this picture of his father, and all that meant to him, all that it means to us. Even though we never met, especially because we never met these people, the images of an Eilich Yid, of what a God-fearing Jew looked like, even the way that a God-fearing Jew, the way he dressed and where he went and how he spoke and how he carried himself, how he conducted his life, that this is something that's becoming very, very, very hard for our children to sense in us, and it's scary. It's scary because we see that this is Davke, what is most important and vital to their being able to make it in Mitzrayim. When I say make it in Mitzrayim, it doesn't just mean halavai they shall be shomer mitzvah. I'm not saying that to say, oh, my child eats kosher and shomer Shabbos. That's good, Baruch Hashem. I'm not belittling that. That's a chashuva thing, to be shomer Shabbos and to eat kosher. But our dream and our hope is to have children that are holy. Children that are Heilige Yidden. That's our dream and hope. I'm sure that I share that. We all share that. We might not always think about it. We might not remember it. But in the pnimius of who we are, in the depths of who we are, there's nothing that's more important to us. To remember the picture, to remember the image of his Rebbe, of his father. There's no greater shmira. There's no greater way to protect the child. That's the Nina before Yaakov Inu died, and he said, "Hamalach Hagoy Lo Yisimi Kol Ra." Yivarech Es Hanarim V'Karvehem Shmi V'Shem Avosai Avram V'Yitzchak. That was the bracha that Yaakov Inu gave Davka to the grandchildren, the ones who were raised where? Not in Eretz Yisrael, who were raised in Egypt. The bracha was Hamalach Hagoy Lo Yisimi Kol Ra. There was, Yaakov knew many angels in his life. Many, many angels. He met many, many malachim. On the ladder, by Machanayim, he met angels, he sent angels to Esau. He was very familiar with angels. He met probably thousands of angels in his life. But there was that hamalach, hagoyl oisi mikol ra. There was that koyach that he had to be able to remain a yid, to remain a Jew, through all of his difficult times, hamalach, like Rashi says over there, davka through the tzaras, that one malach was the most special malach to Yaakov. You know, hamalach hagol, yivarech es hanorim, should bless the children. And what's the biggest blessing that we can give the children? The biggest blessing is v'yikari behem shmi v'shem avosai, that may they be named after me and my ancestors. And here it doesn't just mean to name the kids; it means a way of life. That was the bracha that Yaakov gave to his grandchildren. You have so many fights that take place when it comes time to naming a baby. Unbelievable machlekesin when it comes to naming a baby. But to fight that the child should be more like the Zayde, more like the Bobby, that you don't have such big milchamas like that. Just to give the name. They'll multiply in this in the world, that they'll be able to be the kind of Jews that are connected forever. Shmi v'shem avosai. Yaakov said, my name and the name of my ancestors. And that is what saves the child from everything. This is the strength of a Jewish home. Shel makom Torah Yehudi of a yeshiva, a strong school, a yeshiva. Zeh ha'yesod shel klal Yisrael. This is the yesod, this is the foundation of the entire nation, of our people. Avinu shebishamayim, hira lanu umar lanu keseder, eich nachzik maimed al yedei, HaKoyach Shel Eis Yaakov Ish U'Beisai Bo. So on Shabbos, actually this entire week, we began reading, learning Sefer Shmos. And Shabbos are going to read Parsha Shmos. And the beginning of Shmos, there's that empty space, that scary space in between Bereishis and Shmos, that scary place. And then Shmos begins, the Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael HaBoim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the Jewish people who came to Egypt, HaBoim Mitzrayim. Pay note to the fact that it says it in the continuous present. It doesn't say Ashabo, that who came. It says Haboim Mitzrayim, who are coming into Egypt. Eis Yaakov, Ish Ubeisai Bo. Each, the child, each one connected to Yaakov, a child, a grandchild of Yaakov, each one came with their household. That's the beginning of Sefer Shmos, which is the book of redemption, which is the book of Golus, of exile and redemption. That's how he went into Golus. Eis Yaakov, Ish Ubeisai Bo. The reason it says in the present continuous, Haboim Mitzrayimah, the Tzaddikim explain, it's found in the Beis Yisrael, in Sfasemus Lamaitzvarim, that Haboim Mitzrayimah means that a Jew never feels that he's settled into Mitzrayim. He never feels that he's arrived. He's always trying to find his place, but never does. That's how it has to be for a Jew in this world, away from Eretz Yisrael and away from Mashiach. Haboim Mitzrayim. If a person feels that this is it, this is great, I don't need Eretz Yisrael, I don't need Mashiach, I'm already here, Ashabo Mitzrayim, we already have arrived, then that's a very, very dangerous, that's God forbid the end of that person's Yiddishkeit. Haboim Mitzrayim means we're constantly, even though we're here for 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it is, we're here, we feel that we're just arriving. This is not our place. We're not comfortable here. And that discomfort comes to us from our parents, our grandparents. It's becoming more comfortable lately. And I'm sure that many of you, like myself, grew up in a home where, although my parents appreciated and still appreciate the blessings of America, I never felt that this is where they fit in or where they belonged. I never felt that way. That they, not just because of the language and because of the many, many, many things that contribute to that, I just never felt that they fit in. Sometimes that they I don't know if they wanted to fit in. Maybe in the beginning, but I don't think they wanted to fit in. Those who are still coming to Egypt after 50, 60, 70 years. So that's why so many times, like the other day, we had a friend of mine sent me a very, very funny cartoon. You know how in the shuls they have, well, you don't go in the men's section, don't you? But in the yeshivas and in the men's sections, they always have this one diagram of a guy wearing tefillin, and it says right, right, wrong, wrong. It shows you like the tefillin too low or on the side. It's in every yeshiva and every shul. You know, there's some place you have this guy that we're looking at this face for like the last 50 years, this guy. It's a cartoon, you know, a drawing. So a friend of mine sent me something that his Talmidim, his students, made a very funny thing on the computer. They made a guy like wearing tefillin in the craziest way, like it was over here, it was like crazy. It was all over the place. It wasn't like just a little bit. It was just a crazy thing. And my son and I, we were laughing. It's just very funny looking, because we have all those associations with a serious yeshiva bracha with a tefillin in the right place. So I thought I would share this with my father on Shabbos. And he looked at it and he said, "What's funny?" I said, "You know, how the tefillin is over here." So my father said, "That's not funny, that's silly. You make fun tefillin, that's what you do. You make fun tefillin, it's a narishkeit. That's what you laugh, and you laugh with Ushi together with your son, that's what you teach him, to laugh narishkeit, silly." I thought it was a funny thing. You know, it's just a different way. It's
It's Haboy Mitzrayim, and you think I would have learned after all the years, you know, what to show and what not to show. But you don't, it's just, we have gotten used to something. Again, there's nothing sinful about that. It's just a joke. It was nothing terrible. And I still have it on the refrigerator, you know. After my father left, I put it back on the refrigerator. It's funny, you know. But it's only for those who have come to Mitzrayim, not for those who are coming to Mitzrayim. And it's hard to explain. Only those who grew up with this understand what it means. Haboy Mitzrayim. Eis Yaakov, Ishu Beisai, Bo. To come with the family. I was at a bris this morning, and the Baal Simcha says such a beautiful thing. The baby was named after a very, very fine Jew who passed away at a young age and left a large family. And the Baal Simcha said that any time that you go into that house, even though the father passed away a few years ago, you hear the children saying, Abba, this is what Abba would want. This is what Abba told us. This is how Abba wanted it. Even though he passed away years ago. And the children, they're not older children. I think they're all under 20, maybe. They're not maybe that, the oldest ones around that age. But they're young children. And the Baal Simcha said that you would think that the father was still alive. The way that they talk about the father, it's like he's still alive. Oy Yosef Chai. Yaakov Inu Loi Meis. This is what my father would have wanted. This is the way that he looked at things. That's an amazing thing. That's the greatest compliment that you could give anybody in the world. Is that the children years later, that the children, grandchildren are still thinking, what would our father, what would our mother, how would they have looked at this? How did they see this? How would they have handled this? And with that, for the children to have the koyach to do things the right way. That's what he's talking about here. That's what it means. When we went to Mitzrayim, it was Eis Yaakov Ishu Beisai Bo. Each we came to the house with the families. Eich Machzikim Mamad B'Matzav Shel Haboyim Mitzrayim. How should we be able to survive in Egypt? It's only Eis Yaakov Ishu Beisai Bo. Eis Yaakov Ishu Beisai Bo. Eich Machzikim Golos B'Chlodos B'Protos Im HaKorech Shel Chinuch. And that's what it means to educate, not just teaching classes and reading books. In Makar Shal Beis Yaakov, that we learned that the whole house is filled with a fragrance. That's why it's called Beis Yaakov, which is particularly, especially coming from the mother. In Batim Kedoshim, Batim Yehudim, Kedoshim and Meirim, only with holy Jewish homes that are shining with holiness. In Makaymas HaTorah, Kedoshim and Meirim, and yeshivas and schools that are filled with Kedusha, that are shining with Kedusha. That's the way that we could survive. Next, this left column. One of the most painful parashias in Chumash, maybe in all of Tanakh, is when we read about two people who we adore, who we love more than anybody, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, and what seems to have been a completely cruel and merciless expulsion of Yishmael from the house, which is unbearable for us, especially since we're taught over and over again that the whole Midas HaChesed of this world is Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. And when do we say this? When do we read this parasha besides the regular reading? When do we read this parasha? We read this parasha on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. V'yesh b'zayriches dvarim l'nabim b'nekudah k'tzar b'k'tzar. Klal Yisrael oimed b'regoyim ha'gedolim b'yosef b'shanah. These are the holiest moments of the year, right by blowing the shofar. Rosh Hashanah l'fnei tkiyas. It's the most holy time of the year. Rosh Hashanah before tkiyas shofar. Listen, the Malchi is a chayes and shayves. Before we say all the brachas of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, b'regoyim ha'gedolim ha'ela. And what do we do at these most exalted holy moments of the year? Davke, Karim Parashah Shlomi. We read an entire section of Torah. Eksha Sari Yemenu Amar Avraham Avinu Lagarish Yisshmal B'Gishua Esa. Sari Yemenu says, throw him out. And Avraham Avinu, and Hashem Yisbach tells Avraham Avinu, whatever Sari Yemenu said, Shma B'Kayla. She's right. And we read this davke on Rosh Hashanah, when we're so desperately in need of Hashem's compassion, and we read this parasha, which is a pachad, it's frightening. This is something which is absolutely astounding. The whole inyan of Avraham Avinu was to bring chesed into this world. boundless love into this world. And he was Moses Nefesh, he was sacrificing his entire life just to teach this loving kindness. Arab Sochem, he had the four openings to his tent, and he created a whole industry of Achnasas Orchem, of taking care of companies, taking care of guests. Avraham Avinu was the one who brought this unbelievable Midah of Hashem that's called Chesed into the world. And all the chesed that's now available in the world is b'shvili, all from Avraham Avinu. To such a degree that even on the most painful day, it was the third day after his bris, he's standing outside looking for guests, not necessarily holy people, anybody. Because he couldn't live without doing good. He wanted to do good. He couldn't be without giving good, without giving, without doing. Mashu lashpia. He has to be mashpia, Avraham Avinu. He has to do something. He has to give over food and water and a place to rest and talking about Hashem. And he had to. Kol kula hashpa. Because the entire essence of Avraham Avinu, all he was hashpa, was giving over. Kol kula hatava. All he was goodness. That's all that he was giving. We can't possibly comprehend this. All she spent her life doing was opening up her home and teaching the women about Hashem and about belief and so on. That's all she did. Avraham Avinu was working with the men, and Sarimenu was with the women. We see this in Chumash. Kol kulam hashpa, kol kulam hatava. All they were in this world was hashpo, was giving over, and atova, and goodness. There wasn't a hair's breadth of anything that they wanted for themselves in this world. There wasn't anything selfish in them. And nor were they capable of hurting anybody. They couldn't do anything. They would never, ever. Not like you see a nice person, he's not capable of hurting. He wouldn't hurt a fly. They couldn't hurt anybody. Or even to cause somebody to feel bad. Suddenly, all of a sudden you have a maise in Torah, a story, something that happened. Shmuel was not acting in the right way. And he was also mocking and ridiculing holiness. And we see that this person, these people, who are the embodiment of kindness and of giving, who didn't have one thing for themselves in this world, it seems to us in a very brutal way, they sent Yishmael into a dangerous place. They sent him away. And we read this Tavke before Tkiyah Shofar, when we're in the need for the greatest clarity and compassion. Tavke. So why is this? Because Hashem is Baruch is showing us on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning, Hashem, the Kudush Aliyahadis, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of the coronation of the king. It's the day when we come back to the beginning. It's that day when everything is once again clear, the way it's supposed to be. So what does Hashem Baruch show us in Rosh Hashanah? He shows us the Nakuda of Yiddishkeit, the pintle, the spark, the point, the inner essence of Yiddishkeit. And the Kudu Shokla Yisrael, he lishma liyaladam kibbas ha'ayin. And the Kudu of a Jew is to watch the children, is to take care of the children. To take care of the children, that they shouldn't be, God forbid, they shouldn't be brought down, they shouldn't be defiled. This is the spitz, this is the point of a Jew, to make a shmirah for his children from anything that could hurt the child, not just physically, but spiritually as well. So we're thinking, couldn't we do this in a different way? I mean, couldn't we have sent him to a special place, you know? He could have gone to Ohel for a year or something. It says that there were Ohels back then, so couldn't Avraham Avinu sent him to some place, something, Epis, but such a way, the way that he was removed from Klal Yisrael. We don't have a hasag, we don't understand the tiniest little drop of Yitzchak Avinu's holiness and of the dreams that Avraham Avinu had for Yitzchak. We don't understand that. So to us, it seems like many things in Chumash and Tanakh. It seems like, well, you know, we wouldn't have done it this way. We could have thought of something else. We would have had some counseling and therapy and so on. We would have spent some time. And you know what? Nowadays, there are different ways of doing this. We're not in the same matzav as Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. This was the beginning. This is the root of our people. Everything had to be just right. When we say the bracha by a bris, Hashem sanctified and made holy the friend from the womb. According to many Rishonim, that friend from the womb who was already holy inside the womb was Yitzchak Avinu. He was like a pure, unblemished sacrifice that was offered up to Hashem, that was placed on the altar. Called Kulay Shleimus, he was the most complete person. We don't understand this at all. From the moment that he was born, he was completely holy and pure. He was 13 years old. Yishmael was 14 years older than him. Was making all kinds of narishkeit in the house, was carrying on, was involved in all kinds of terrible things. And we know that according to Chazal, he did the most disgusting of errors. I mean, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Erayot, Shefichas Dam, he was a murderer, he was an adulterer, he was worshipping idols. I mean, the worst things. Yitzchak Avinu was a pure, unblemished offering. What's going to happen to be in the same house with Yishmael? What's going to be with him to be in the same house with Yishmael? Because of Baal Shach Hakadosh, Rabbeinu Yoni Vayit Tzadikim, Akvar B'Chazal Kedoshim Avur Habchina Hazayis, Shesari Yemeinu Gilsa, that Sari Yemeinu was the one, who, as we learned the last few weeks, that Davka this Davka comes more from the women, and therefore it was Sari Yemeinu who said Lo, no, this will not be, and we see this again with Rivka Yemeinu, that Rivka is the one who orchestrates the bracha for Yaakov, and that Esav should be rejected. That here the woman steps in and says, "No way, also levater. You cannot compromise. There are no compromises. Ulispashab is a klum. There are no compromises with the holiness of my children, of my child. Sarach lishmur es hayeladim shelonu." We have to protect the children with the greatest possible shmira that we can, with the highest level of shmira that we can. There's a famous Rambam where the Rambam says that a person is very much influenced by his environment, and if he's living in a place where he can't find a little pocket of holiness, if it's necessary, he should go out, the Rambam says, to the desert and live by himself in a cave. Now, you know, you can't accuse the Rambam of saying things that are not rational. The Rambam was the most rational Jew there ever was. And the Rambam says that if necessary, you go out and live by yourself. The Rambam says that if you don't have a good environment, you have to go out to the desert. And who are we talking to? Who's the Rambam talking to? And the Rambam says that in order to salvage your Yiddishkeit, to be holy, you have to go out to the... This person might even have to go live by himself in the desert. So we're talking about a person who the Rambam feels can be a Jew even by himself in the desert. This must be a great person. He must be a great person. Because regular people wouldn't be able to manage. And the Rambam says that this person, even though we're talking about obviously a great person, if necessary, should go by himself and live in the desert. Without anybody. What's he going to have over there? Not physical comfort, and he's not going to have a yeshiva. He's not going to have anything. Who can live in the desert? The Rambam is saying, talking about a person who has the kriches, the physical kach and the spiritual kach to go by himself and live in the desert. And to be a good Jew in that place by himself. We think that if we'd be there, we'd go crazy. Or we go completely off the path. So, in which case, what would the Rambam be benefiting by sending this guy out to the Midbar? The whole point is he should be an Elohid, he should be a God-fearing Jew. Why send him out to a desert? He's going to lose his mind and lose his Yiddishkeit. Obviously, the Rambam's talking about somebody who can manage by himself. Not just for 6 months, but can manage his whole life. But we're talking about a person who can serve Hashem in the most wonderful way, and even though he's in the desert. Gam keze Yehudi, so we're talking about a great Jew. We're talking about an amazing person. And even such an amazing person, the Rambam tells him, the Rambam says, if you're going to be influenced by your environment, even in a subtle way, leave. We're not talking about a regular Jew like nowadays. That's from every little thing. We call akimas af. Anytime that there's somebody, you know, on the television that moves the nose a certain way, or walks a certain way, or wears a certain piece of clothing, that everybody like robots goes out and walks that way and buys those clothing and imitates. He's talking about a Jew that can live by himself in the desert. And the Rambam says that such a person should leave an environment that's not holy. Not like us, but like people like us, we called over cotton, these tiniest little things affect us. We like to say we're not affected, it's not true. It's not, of course we're affected by every little thing. We call it kimas option, niya mushpa. We're talking about a Jew that's mamash like iron, he's strong. But he still is honest enough to admit that there's, in some subtle way, the environment has an effect upon him. He has to run out to the desert. Nowadays, I know so many people that when they want to get rid of the television, their friends tell them, you're crazy. How can you want to get rid of the television? It's the whole chiyus of a Jew in this world. I mean, how do you want to get rid of such a wonderful thing that's so educational and so on? How could you want to get rid of that? And they look at the person like he's crazy, and you hear the Rambam says to go to the desert. There's no cable in the desert. He says to go to the desert. And for us, it's people for 20 years are struggling. Should I not throw it? Should I have it? Put in a closet? Or only with videos and not with a channel? You know, all of these chilukim and ridiculous games that people play with Hashem is Baruch. And all of this, the Rambam says, a person who, and we're talking about weak people like ourselves. Somebody thinks my kid is not going to be affected by what he sees on the television. You have to be a lunatic to think that. You have to be a complete and total lunatic. Of course he's going to be affected. He's going to be affected in ways that you don't even know. Not 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Just like we're affected by these things. That's the emes. It's uncomfortable to talk about. It's uncomfortable to hear about. People like to make believe that everything is fine and my children are so wonderful and pure and we keep such a careful watch on what they're seeing that nothing is going to influence them or affect them. These are terutz and these are things that a person can say to a friend, you know, when you're taking a stroll with your carriage someplace on the boulevard. But in Pnimius, Yom Kippur by Ne'ila, nobody would say such an Irish guy. Ne'ila, Yom Kippur, nobody could say such a thing. They're emes, that they're not afraid that their child's not going to be influenced by these things. And that's the main job of Sari Meno, of the woman. Sari Meno, Gil Salonu, Mizan the Kudush of Rosh Hashanah. And we read about this Davka, what? About what Sari Meno did. She was the one that actually got this moving to drive out Yishmael, and we read this Rosh Hashanah right before the Kiyashayv is Shema B'Koyla. Hashem told Avraham to listen to what she's saying because it's like listening to the Shofar when you listen to her voice. Hagufa Basarechagar, Ain Taikiv Achsidis Kitchilasa, Shemaschilim Shana Hadasha. Therefore, a new year, we're starting in it. We want to start in the best way possible. We want to start with clarity. We want to throw out all the Yishmaels from our life. You want to get rid of the Yishmaels. Because on that moment before the Kishayfa, we see the truth that Yishmael is destroying us and he can't remain in the house together with us. Shefa Chadish, B'shoshim is kind of them with Kishayfa, we're getting ready for Shayfa. We want to drive out the Yishmael from our lives. Avinu Shebashamayim, Meir Lono Esa Yisayid, at that moment Hashem shines into our lives this very, very great, important principle. Shetzarech Lichyos V'Lizka Kesed that we have to live with and remember all the time. Ad Kama Tzarech Lishmer Ali Yelodim. How much we have to watch the children. Ad Kama Zeh Chesed Achi Gadol. And that's the greatest kindness. Because our question was, Avinu Avinu Tzarech Meir was so kind. How could they do such a thing that seems cruel? So when a parent sometimes thinks, I can't stop my kid from going to that house, even though the house is not the right house for my kid, how could I do that? These are cheshbonos that are not from Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. Not that a person shouldn't be sensitive and delicate and do things, of course, in the most diplomatic way possible. But when push comes to shove, you have to watch your kid. And I tell this to parents all the time when they ask me about these things. When push comes to shove, you have to take care of your kid. And it's not a svar, but I don't know how they're going to feel. You're not nicer than Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. You're not more worried about hurt feelings on the block than Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. There's no way possible. Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu were the most sensitive, delicate, caring people that ever lived. And Yishmael was driven away from the home. And it wasn't a cheshbon of how's this going to look? How does this feel? What's it going to be like? This is the shmirah that is the greatest chesed of our lives, which is to give our children the opportunity to be holy Jews. That's the greatest chesed we could give in this world. We were created for that greatest chesed, which is not, again, to try to be diplomatic, but not to work, not the ikur is not the neighbor's feelings, or whether or not, like Yimel said, whether or not the kid in this school will be able to get 20 points higher on his SAT, even though in that school it could be that there's all kinds of things that are going on because they're boys and girls together and so on and so forth. That's the cheshbon, that he should get 20 points higher in his SAT and that he should be able to be successful. And these are the cheshbonos that parents are making to be successful. The greatest success of a Jewish parent is to raise tzaddik. That's the greatest success. Even if it means, I'm sorry to say, 20 points lower on the SAT. And even if it means starting off with not with a $250,000 a year job. Even that. Even if it means that we're going to have to still pay money for a few years after they're married to try to give them that opportunity. Even if it means all of that. Because that's the tachlis of our lives. Our mistake is when we think that this is like a luxurious thing. It's like a tosefes. That holiness is something which is like extra. I just want my kid to be observant. Holiness is extra. Then we make all these mistakes. But when we know that holiness is the aside of all of our lives, it's the aside of Yiddishkeit, that's what we're talking about, that's why we're here. So then the decision is made to put the children in the best possible school, the best possible camp, the best possible environment, to try as much as possible, the families that share as much as possible, that share the ideals of the parents, and so on. This is the aside. And what about how people feel and they look at you? How they'll look at you? This is a big sugya, our care about how people look at us. It's not for now so much. How people look at us, this comes from a very, very small place when we think about how people look at us. It's a very, very small thing to worry about. How people look at us, especially if it's on the cheshbon of our children. It's one thing, if for ourselves we do dumb things because we want to look a certain way, but for our children they're going to have a tiny after 120, that because of some silly cheshbon that you wanted to look a certain way. I hate how many times I have parents that have come to me and said that they, you know, with the school for the kids, we're talking about school, and the parents say that I feel more comfortable for myself socially in this school. I've heard this 1,000 times. I feel it's like, you know, more my type. Okay, it's a cheshbon. What is it, a sweet 16 or something? The person has to be honest with himself. I feel more socially comfortable. Like, in other words, when they have the dinner once a year, I'm going to be able to make nice conversation and feel good. Or the families, the parents, that they're my type, and so on. Instead of making a cheshbon, no, maybe I should talk to intensify my own Yiddishkeit for my children, instead of saying, making this cheshbon, you know, even I know that school would be better for my child, it would be more Yiddishkeit, be more davening, more learning, more serious, but I'm not comfortable with the parent body. You know, I hear this all the time. You really think that's going to fly at 120? I mean, bam, it's like at a nila moment, because then we're honest. Do you think that's real? That because I should send my kid to a school so I should feel comfortable? When I go to a parents-teachers meeting, that I shouldn't have, like, what if somebody looks at me the wrong way or something like that, whatever the cheshbon is, that's the cheshbon for your child. These are cheshbonos that we have to be careful not to slip into that smallness, but to give our children the greatest chesed, the chesed for which we were created, to watch them, take care of them, to bring them up, that they should be tzaddikim and kedoshim and tahirim. Hashem is supposed to help us, that we should have siyata d'shmai, that all of us should be zeichet to see that and to walk them to the chuppah in such a way where they're accompanied with the malachim in a good and holy way.